Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaniah went against him with a club. And he snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaniah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three. And David put him in charge of his bodyguard. Amen. I want to talk about someone to remember, someone to remember, someone to remember. It is so easy to take for granted the privilege, joy that we have and the freedom that we have in this, our beloved country. It was one professor, I forget his name, he said that clearly within our country we're not completely well. We've got some illnesses here and there. We're not completely well. He said, but I'm willing to stick with her till she gets better. I like that. Because in spite of the fact that we do have issues in our country, it is a privilege to live here, to love here, to worship here, to serve God here. Frankly, there's no other place other than heaven that I would really want to be. And part of that privilege that we have is because of so many people that work behind the scenes and serve in capacities that their names will never be lifted. Their names, will never know their names. But there are people throughout this country and over time that have served, suffered, and sacrificed so that you and I can celebrate the freedom that we have. I didn't want to just go past Veterans Day without bringing to attention that there are some people we ought to remember. And I wanted to look, I saw in our text today and thought that I would lift up this particular text so that we would be mindful of the privilege that we have and that we would every now and then be sensitive to those who serve behind the scenes. In our text today, this particular individual who is serving behind the scenes, he's a man by the name, I'm gonna call him Big Ben, but he's an individual that God has used to help his king. He helped his king advance the kingdom. Let me outline this sermon this way. I first want to say a word about David, who David served in an awesome capacity, and he loved the sovereign. David loved his God. He's remembered by the fact that he loved his God. Writers say that he was a man after God's own heart. And you need to know, and it don't take much for us to recall, that David was a man who fell along the way. Not just one time, there was a few times where David went astray. But one of the things that is awesome about David is that David understood the benefit of a U-turn. That's something all of us can learn. Because you're not going to walk this life without erring sometime. You're not going to walk this life without falling or stumbling sometime. But we love David because David is a picture. He's a picture of what it means to fall and be and get a chance to turn around. And he's always celebrated because when you see David, you can't help but see the love of God. And it's God who loved him and gave him another chance. David loved the sovereign in spite of the fact that God held David accountable. I say this every now and then because sometimes individuals misunderstand unconditional love and being held accountable. Sometimes, as I disciple individual, I want to assure them, you need to know that I absolutely love you. I love you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to stop me from loving you. But what I'm about to tell you is because that I love you, which means that one, I can love you on one hand, but then hold a person accountable on the other hand. Love is one thing, accountability is something else. You crossed the line. I love you, but because you crossed the line, you can't do this anymore. I'm trying to help y'all up in here. Because loving folk don't mean letting them get away with stuff. That's what Mama Nim was trying to teach us when they said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. None of us believed it. But the point was that I love you, but yet I love you too much to let you keep going the wrong way. You can put an amen there if you can. And the truth is, part of what we're dealing with in our neighborhoods, in our communities, is the fact that we've got a whole lot of children that are adults, but they're children at heart. Because some of them have been loved in such a way, but they've never been held accountable. And so they need love, but they also need accountability. And I just would suggest, let me help you. I believe that if you start with accountability when they're about here, then it'll be a whole lot easier to deal with when they come here. But if you never start here, then when they get there, it's too late. You've heard me say it before. I'm old, so you probably heard this before. They are like concrete. And anybody who knows anything about construction, you got to mold it. You got a limited time to mold and shape. And if it sets, you're going to have to break it. But by any means. And here's what David understood. David knew that some of the stuff that he was going through, it was because God was holding him accountable. David knew the difference between suffering and being persecuted because somebody didn't like the fact that you had favor on your life. And he knew the difference between consequences because I crossed the line. Okay, let me explain it. Y'all see, you can't miss Sunday school. Came in Sunday school. Here it is. When Saul was jealous and was trying to kill David because of the cheerleaders saying, Saul's killed his thousands, David has killed his tens of thousands, David understood that's haterade. That's somebody that can't stand that God decided to put some favor on my life. And here's what's so good about that. David, even though he had a chance to take Saul out, David would not touch him, even though Saul was trying to kill him. Now, when you fast forward, and David gets through all of that, and now he's king, and he's being lazy. Can't sleep. walks out on his patio and looks around and sees Miss Thang. And then David says to his confidant, "Who that?" And I love this, I love the confidant, because he says, first of all, David, she's married. Secondly, she's married to somebody who's serving in your army. Thirdly, the man who's married to her who's serving in your army has a father who served you as well. What he was really trying to say is, you can't touch that. And David did it anyway, and then the consequences were severe. His household was turned upside down. He did what he did in the dark. What was done to him was done in the broad daylight. But David understood that this is not persecution. This is consequence of my own sin. He's an awesome individual to study. But yet he did not stop loving God, because God held him accountable. And as he walked with God, as he served God, one of the things you'll discover with David, he had a special forces. He created a special force. Where I'm preaching from in 2 Samuel 23, this is towards the end of his life, and David highlights this special force. There's a group within the army that he calls David's mighty men. They're a special force. All of their names are written. There's three guys that I'll mention in a moment, and then Big Ben, I'm gonna spend some time with him. But he picked a good day to come to church. but Desney, when I was reading about these guys, this army, this special force, I couldn't go any further without asking and answering the question, well, where did they come from? I had to figure out where they came from, and when I backed up to find out where they came from, I had to go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. And in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it talks about this group of folk who showed up. And it didn't give their names then. What it gave was their condition. That's why I'm calling them the special force. Because if you gonna pick some Navy SEALs, you want some folk that really got it all together. But this is a special force. And it's a group of people that God sent to hang out and to follow him. Let me tell you how they're described. The first thing it says about this special force in verse number 2, it says these folk were distressed. These folk were under stress. It doesn't go into the detail whether it was marital. It doesn't go into detail whether it was family. But these folk were in distress. In other words, these individuals had some anxiety in their life. They had some stuff that they were worried about. And these folk who were worried decided to hook up with the man they believed would be king. They're following him even though he's on the run, because there's something in him. They see something in him that he can't even see in itself yet. Here's what the beauty of this thing is. They believe he's a king even though he ain't got no castle. They believe he's on his way somewhere. And sometimes it's good to have insight to be able to recognize when the hand of the Lord is on somebody. Some of y'all waiting for them to get there, but you need to be able to recognize the way they're headed, and they hook up with him. And here's what the first thing that it says, they're distressed. Here's the second one. Not only are they distressed, but they're in debt. These are broke people. These are poor people. These are people ain't got no money. Watch this. These are people that can't pay their own way. They're anxious, filled with anxiety, and they're broke, and they're running with David. Ooh, I'm telling you, it's a special group. They're distressed, and they're in debt. They don't know. They don't know where their next check's coming from. They're distressed, and they're in debt. And the last thing it says about them, they're discontented. I had to look that one up. And what that word really translates, it translates that they are bitter. They're angry. Doggone it. Bitter, angry, broke, anxious. That's a bad group. That's a bad group. Mad, broke, anxious, and they want to follow David. Watch this. They want to follow David, and David welcomes them. I'm telling you, it's a special force, because I believe that David knew what it's like to be distressed. He knew what it was like to be broke. He knew what it was like to be bitter. But just because you're bitter now don't mean you can't become better. Come on here. Because David knew that in spite of what you go through sometime, the God we serve, that's what he sung about. See, you can't forget your song even though you feel discontented, even though you feel you're in debt, and even though you're distressed. Don't ever forget your song. Thank you, Junior. God gave him a song, and God gave you a song, and every now and then you need to pull your record out. Blow it off and sing your song and play your song and do it like my girlfriend. My girlfriend makes me sick sometimes. Sometimes we roll it in the car, and she'll hit that button with the circle on it. And for 100 miles, I gotta listen to it over and over and over again, because it's her song, and it's something about the song that goes down in her spirit that makes her feel that we gonna get through this. He's got a special force. What a group. They distressed, in debt, and discontented. And they rolling with David. They come to serve the kingdom. They're serving the king. Kingdom. They're committed to the king. The kingdom. One of the things I couldn't help but see so quickly is that when you read about this group, typically it'll say their name. And then it'll say who their family was. Say where they from. Their name, their family, and where they from. go down a whole list and you'll see diversity. This is a diverse group of folk. They got different names. They're from different families, and they're from different places. I was trying to figure out, I wanted to ignore it, but we've been, you know, studying that sermon prep stuff. I really wanted to say, y'all ain't really interested in where they from. Y'all don't even, you know, won't even mention the name, but something down in my spirit said, there's got to be something significant about why it keeps mentioning where they from. And then when I looked on the map, they were from all over the place. Some from up north, some from up the east, some down south, some west. These distressed, discontented, broke people were from, they had a mama and them from all over the place. Dre, I said, what's up with that? And then the Holy Ghost said that you better learn how to get along with people who from different backgrounds than you. You better learn, you may not like tacos, but you better learn. You better learn how to appreciate people that are a little different from you. Because when you got an enemy on your trail, you don't know where the Lord gonna send you and who the Lord gonna use to bless you. Come here. They had people from all kind of backgrounds. That was really cool. It made sense because when David had to go to the east side, he knew there was somebody in the posse that had a family over there. When he had to go down south, there was somebody in the family that had family down there. And when he had to go west, it was all right because there was somebody. Buki had somebody who was in the family over there. I'm just trying to help you because when you on the run, you've got to trust God. And you've got to trust that every now and then God will use somebody. Don't talk like you talk. Don't dance like you dance. Don't sing like you sing. Don't roll like you roll. But that don't mean that they can't be used by God to bless you or help you to be a blessing to them. They're from different backgrounds. And they're from different places. Which I'll give this to you for free. Which means, be careful with your matches. Oh, here's what my friend said. He said, if you leave right, you can always come back. Did you hear me? If you leave right, you can always see some of y'all leave a cussing and strike a match, and some of y'all can't go back nowhere because you done burnt every bridge. But if you leave right, you can always. Mm-hmm. They were diverse, but yet they had a whole lot in common. Good question. I got it. I got the answer. Here it is, Mike. All of them had at least one thing in common. They've been delivered. You missed your shout cue. I said they were diverse, but they all had something in common. And what they all had in common was somewhere, somehow, along the way, they all experienced deliverance.
Boy, y'all, sometimes y'all so easy to preach to, but then I get to stuff that you only get in Sunday school, and I got to explain it. Ain't got time. I can't preach all of this. Same chapter. The mighty three was Josh, El, and Shem. I'm shortening their names. Josh got in a fight one day, and he killed 800. El was in a fight one day. Matter of fact, he was with David, and they were in the middle of a lentil field, but it was their lentil field. And he stood up, and they struck down 300. And this dude, he fought so hard, till the text says the sword froze in his hands. It's as if he'd been holding it so long. It clamped down on it, froze in his hands. Shem was a bad boy. You see his story in number 11. He was a warrior as well. And then there's another guy behind the scenes. His name is Abishai. I remember a young man, Abishai Gregory. And I was trying to figure out, where did they get that name? Abishai Gregory from New Hope. He lives in Indy now. He's named after this guy right here. And Abishai was a bad boy. And Abishai was so mighty. He came after the three, but after they saw what he could do, they made him a captain over the mighty three. And then you've got Big Ben. Ben was a bad boy. I just read about him in chapter 20. In chapter 20, he had a whole lot in common with David. Check it out. There was some Moabites, two of their mightiest warriors, and he brought them both down. Then one day he fell in the pit. Watch this. Text gives more detail, because he didn't just fall in a pit, but he fell in a pit, got down there, hit bottom, and turned around, and that wasn't the only thing that had fallen in the pit. There was a lion alive in the same pit. That ain't all. On a snowy day. Boy, y'all got to learn when to shout. Watch this. It's bad enough to be in a lion in the pit with a lion. No. Stop that. Rewind. It's bad enough to be in a pit. But he's in a pit with a lion. And to make matters even worse, he's in the pit with a lion on a snowy day. Y'all, that's as bad as it could get. It's bad enough to be able to fight the lion when the weather's warm. But when your hands are cold and your feet's cold and you got to deal with a lion, but the Bible says he brought him down. I'm telling you, they were diverse, but they had a whole lot in common, because they all had experienced deliverance. That ain't all. Big Ben, after he dealt with the two Moabites, after he dealt with the lion, there was another giant. Goliath wasn't the only one. Philistines had one, but the Egyptians had one. Looked like there were shacks all over the place. And he came up against his own Shaquille. You got him? It with the Philistines. But the Egyptians got a Shaquille as well. What is God trying to tell you? Everybody gonna have to face your own Shaquille. Everybody is going to have to face your own giant someday, somewhere, somehow. But he brought him down. And David, when he heard about Big Ben, I'm sure as they began to tell this story, and David told his story about the lion and bear. And then Ben told his story about the lion in the pit. David told his story about the giant in the valley, the big Philistine. Ben told his story about dealing with the big Egyptian. All of them had a story, and it was so much in common that David decided, I tell you what, Ben, we got Abishai and Sham and El and Josh. They can handle that. Tell you what, Ben, why don't you just stay with me? I need somebody who's been what I've been through. Every now and then, it's good to have somebody that been where you've been to help you. And he decided to make Ben his armor bearer. Matter of fact, made him over his personal bodyguards. And he was there to do three things. One, I'm here to be a present help. I ain't here to watch. I'm here to be a present help. Secondly, I'm here to be alert. Because King, while you do what you do, I need to know, I got sense enough to know that there's a lot of people that don't want to see you do what you do. You need some friends that can help you by simply being alert to things that could harm you. Ain't it good to have somebody who's your friend that will be alert to help you see what you can't see? But they love you enough to bring it to your attention. Here it is. They're different, but have a lot in common. They've all experienced deliverance, got sense enough to know that it was God that saw them through. But then finally, they realized they weren't done. They weren't done. Then, after all them experiences, giant, Moabites, lion, he still ain't done. And his job is to serve the king, kingdom. It's a beautiful message, a great picture to help you know that sometimes after you done a whole lot of stuff, you still aren't done. We ought to celebrate these individuals, and we ought to recognize and take a moment and celebrate some of the soldiers that came before because of the things that they had done and for the fact that when they were done, they still weren't done. You remember, I know you know something about Harriet Tubman. And when she made up her mind that she was going to get her own freedom, she's free. She got her a new name. In a new place. And she's free. But something down in her spirit led her to believe she wasn't done. What an amazing story. Check the movie out if you can. And she went back because she knew she wasn't done. She got some family members. Got them out. Now everybody, we in a new place with a new name. New season. And still concluded, I ain't done. And she kept on going back because she believed that she wasn't done. We celebrate that little woman. We celebrate her even today because she knew she wasn't done. There's a guy, you may not know nothing about him. There's this man by the name of Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss was a strange little fellow from Lynchburg, Virginia. And he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And Desmond Doss decided, it was World War II, Desmond Doss decided he wanted to be a soldier, but he didn't want to be a regular soldier. Desmond said that, I want to serve, there's some soldiers that serve by killing, I want to serve by saving. And so he went and talked to the army, the enlister, and you got to be careful. Sometimes those guys that are enlist will tell you anything. And they said, yeah, you can come in. He said, now, I don't want to touch a gun. And they said, all right, you don't have to touch a gun. And they came. He came in, and he was going through basic training. And then they wanted him to do riflery. And he said, the guy who brought me in said, I didn't have to touch a gun. And he ended up being court-martialed and actually won his case because he wanted to be in the Army. He wanted to serve, but he wanted to be a non-combatant. He didn't want to have to shoot anybody. And they gave him a hard time. They made a movie after him called Hacksaw Ridge. And in the battle, there was a battle at Okinawa where they laughed at him at first, but he was there to save, not to kill. And one night, while everybody else had went back to the base, he was left up on that ridge, and he's noted for the fact that one night he found 75 wounded soldiers, tied them to a rope, and let them down the ridge over the cliff, let them down, and some 75 were brought to care. Not all of them lived, but he reached 75 wounded and let them down all night long by himself, finding the wounded and letting them down. And many of them lived because he found them and let them down. Next day, they were going back again because they hadn't won the battle. They were going back the second time, and the troops said, we ain't going back without Desmond. And there's a scene, I love it, because everybody's lined up with their guns, and Desmond's standing over by himself with his Bible. They've got guns, he got the Bible. And a call came in, said, y'all were supposed to be up on air fighting 10, 15 minutes ago. And the question was, why haven't y'all started fighting yet? They said, we waiting. I said, what you waiting on? We waiting on Brother Doss to finish praying. Because we ain't going up there until he finishes praying down here. This man was honored for what he did in saving people because he knew he wasn't done. His prayer was, God, give me strength for one more. Come here, I'm almost done. On a hill called Calvary, Jesus hanging for your sins and mine. One fella on the cross said, you saved other folk, save yourself, and while you're at it, save us too. But there was another one on the other side. He leaned back. I don't think he cussed him, but I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven what he said to the other thief. But the Bible records, he says, listen, we deserve this because of what we've done, but this man's done nothing. And then he looks to Jesus and says to him, when you come in your kingdom, please, please, sir, remember me. And Jesus, good God Almighty, had strength to save one more. And he said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Because God gave him strength for just one more. I close right there. May the Lord give us strength for just one more. Because when we look at that cross, Isaac Watts put it like this. Junior, we got to do, sometime we might need to do a workshop and teach this song. But in the words of this song, old school, we used to sing it. I remember singing it. But when you're young and you're singing it, it don't mean a whole lot. But then as you get a little older, as you go through some stuff, after you've been discontent, broke, desperate, disgusted, been through some stuff and the Lord delivers you, old stuff start making a little more sense. These are the words he wrote at the cross. At the cross. That's where I first saw the light. And the burdens that were in my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He hung upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross? At the cross. That's where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. I said, and now, I'm happy. I'm happy all the day. That's someone to remember. Amen. Amen. Somebody looking at me right now. Somebody looking at me right now.